This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. In the U.S., conflict of interest in journalism is an occupational hazard, a product of greed or need, or most often too much coziness between reporter and source. But in Japan, it's encouraged and institutionalized through a network of press clubs. Here in the U.S., a press club is a place stocked with a bar, journalists, and the occasional newsmaker. But in Japan, press clubs, they call them kisha clubs, are like in-house PR units. There are thousands of them located inside every office you can imagine. Government agencies, political parties, businesses, even consumer groups. Outsiders are barred, and membership is exclusive, open only to journalists from major newspapers and networks. The organizations that host these clubs also rule them to a certain extent. We sent OTM producer Mark Phillips to Tokyo to take a look around.
The media in Japan has its share of paradoxes. For instance, circulation numbers are huge here. In fact, Japan's top five papers are in the top 10 worldwide. And the most read paper, the Yomiuri Shimbun, has the world's biggest circulation, almost twice USA Today, the Wall Street Journal, and the New York Times combined. The paradox? The Japanese, who read more papers per capita than anyone, except Norwegians, almost always describe their newspapers as boring.
They go, Prime Minister Aso woke up at X hour in the morning. He took a walk for 4 minutes and 30 seconds. He's headed for the bar at the Imperial Hotel at night. He eats a hamburger, etc., etc.
Takashi Uesugi, a freelance journalist in Tokyo, is author of the book The Collapse of Journalism, which blasts Japan's kisha clubs. And he's in a position to know. He started his career as a reporter working inside the kisha club system, but then left to work in the government.
When I was on the politician's side, I thought, wow, what a convenient system. Oh, I utilize it every day.
Uesugi was a political aide in the Liberal Democratic Party, the conservative party that's held uninterrupted power here since 1955, minus a few months in 1993. When Uesugi needed to release bad news, he spoke only to the press inside the party's kisha club, where a club dynamic ensures one reporter doesn't print the story ahead of the pack.
They like the convoy system. No one should stand out. If you are the only one who gets the scoop, you are given the cold shoulder. If you are the only one who doesn't write it, then you are condemned by your company.
To safeguard against accidental initiative, members of a kisha club, reporters from different papers, share notes in a practice called memo matching. It often results in newspapers printing identical stories. One night I saw three evening papers lead with an identical headline. In fact, two out of three even had the same subheadline. The fear of being last, or first, ensures that the press club reporters release information in lockstep. So Uesugi sneaks into the Liberal Democratic Party's kisha club, as well as the prime minister's, posing as a secretary.
When they find me, they throw me out. One time, for example, the manager of the kisha club approached me and said, "Why are you here? Who gave you permission?" I told him, "Oh, I got lost and I just found myself in here." And they said, "Don't give us that crap. Get the hell out. If we see you next time, we'll report you to the police for trespassing." Well, I still sneak in there anyway. There are a number of ways, but I cannot get into that.
It sounded fun, so I snuck into a private kisha club myself. I promised my guide not to say which one, but like all such clubs, it was located inside the agency the reporters were supposed to be covering, with separate sections for print and broadcast. It's reminiscent of a summer camp or a college dorm with bunk beds that double as desks, run-down furniture with cigarette burns, and baseball trophies on top of file cabinets. In one corner, there are four TV screens always on. Outside the curtain is a common area with vending machines and beaten-up coffee tables. With morning and evening editions to write for, many reporters spend days on end inside the club. And the agency's PR room is just a few doors down, which, critics argue, creates a too cozy environment.
It is almost equivalent to a bunch of male geisha.
Yata Suzuki was a kisha club member when he was a newspaper reporter. Now he writes for the weekly magazines.
The best behaved reporters at the Keisha Club are the first to get information. All they can do is hang out with the authority, drinking sake and having fun, trying to please them.
But the bond between reporter and official runs deeper than the booze, the cigarette breaks, and the office space they share. Their whole careers are intertwined. Takashi Uesugi.
Strangely enough, if a reporter started out covering Mr. Aso when he was a foreign minister, basically the same reporter follows Mr. Aso for the rest of his life. As your pet politician rises up the food chain, so does the reporter who follows him.
In this setup, reporters play the role of protector, not investigator. Again, Takashi Uesugi.
If the reporter gets some information about this politician's rival scheming or something, he would warn him. You see, if your politician has a big downfall caused by a scandal, you have a downfall too. Maybe getting assigned to some remote area. Then you can't write anything.
Keisha Club reporters also give their politicians a heads up on what questions will be asked at the press conferences. Sometimes the answers are even typed up and given to reporters in advance, making the actual event a mere formality. I got a taste of that at the Japanese Newspaper Association, which oversees and makes guidelines for the Keisha Clubs. I submitted questions in advance, and when I arrived, seven stern-looking men were waiting for me at a long table. With harsh lights and sweaty foreheads, it felt like an interrogation scene from the movies. One of the men reached across the table, handed me a printout of the answers, and started reading them.
The answer is, see page 1, second paragraph. The answer I'm about to read is written here. This is a guideline.
Shinsuke Sano, managing editor at one of Japan's largest newspapers, and chairman of the Subcommittee on the Problems of the Keisha Clubs, is reading excerpts of the association's official guidelines in response to my question, why do Keisha Clubs exist?
Public institutions in Japan are rather reluctant to disclose information. The history of the Keisha Club is that it has functioned as a collective team to pressure them to disclose information to the journalists. The Keisha Club has been active for over a century, representing Japanese citizens who are entitled to obtain information. That's the answer to the first question.
But what about freelance reporters' complaints that journalists who aren't members of Keisha clubs get shut out of press conferences?
There are occasions where we are the one to host a press conference, and on many of those occasions we allow freelance journalists and magazine reporters, as long as they agree to follow our rules.
And can I ask you what some of those rules are?
Shinsuke Sano paused for over a minute as the various representatives shuffled through their papers to find an official response to my ad-libbed question.
For example, they have to be magazine reporters or media reporters with long-standing careers. Other criteria, they have to have the common interest of fair reporting to be able to cooperate with the management of the club and for them to comply with our high standards for media ethics.
Then Sano handed me the Canon of Journalism Ethics and stipulated that freelancers must prove their allegiance to its principles through their actions, an abstract requirement that effectively shuts out freelance and magazine writers. But Sano says there's nothing stopping those reporters from approaching officials directly.
If you need to speak privately to a certain individual, it would be through that individual's secretary or office, I suppose. The Keisha Club would have nothing to do with it.
That's exactly what Takashi Uesugi tried to do in 1999, when then-Prime Minister Obuchi actually said yes to his interview request.
While the office of Mr. Obuchi okayed the interview, the office had to submit the Prime Minister's daily schedule to the Cabinet Keisha Club. According to the Keisha Club, it would be a violation of the rules for me to do a one-on-one interview with Prime Minister Obuchi. I said, Prime Minister Obuchi granted me the interview himself. Why shouldn't I be able to interview him? The Keisha Club replied, rules are rules. If you want an interview, you need to belong to our organization, and only then can you reapply for a one-on-one interview. And while this was all going on, Mr. Obuchi had a stroke, got hospitalized, and passed away. And that was that.
Little has changed since. Outsiders can't get in, and insiders can't get the word out because of the club rules, including blackboard agreements, lists of stories they can't write. Shinsuke Sano at the Newspaper Association.
We don't actually have a blackboard agreement. We don't have a blackboard. How it works is that, for example, if there is a kidnapping case, in order not to interfere with the ongoing investigation, we discuss and make an agreement on keeping some information. Otherwise, as a rule, we try not to have agreements as much as possible.
Here's today's blackboard agreement. Let me show it to you.
Author and freelancer Takashi Uesugi says there are blackboard agreements handed out every day at various Kisha clubs. And he opened up his laptop to show me a leaked copy of that day's blackboard list from the Prime Minister's Club. Among various items not to be written was a bona fide blockbuster.
This was handed to me by a private secretary of Prime Minister Aso. Japan considers lending $100 billion to financial market. This is considered a scoop. However, if you went off by yourself and wrote this, you and your news organization will be banned.
And so the bailout scoop went unpublished for a couple days until the time when the blackboard agreement stipulated it could be published. Yet scoops and scandals still break in the media here. How they do it is another great paradox of Japanese journalism. Kisha Club reporters leak the stories they can't print to rival reporters at the weekly magazines. Writer Yata Suzuki is a frequent recipient.
In that context, the weekly magazines and the press club have a codependent relationship. If the stories become public knowledge by being printed in the magazines, they can then write about them in the papers.
Sometimes the Kisha Club reporters will even write the stories themselves for the weeklies. Of course, they use a pen name so as not to get fired, and because most of the weeklies are... Well, I went to a newsstand with former Tokyo crime reporter Jake Adelstein.
What are the headlines?
Some of these headlines are so offensive I can't even translate them for you.
What?
They're talking about somebody's mongrel-shaped breast.
Adelstein's assistant had to jump in to clarify.
A girl who's 15 years younger than he is with a breast that has a... so big, it's like mango.
Well stated. I didn't even know how to begin translating that one.
That's the main story?
Yes. The mongrel-shaped breast is the top story.
These magazines thrive on celebrity gossip and sex. Most of their covers feature very young women wearing very little, and many have actual pornography inside. It'd be like mixing the sleaziest elements of the National Enquirer and Hustler with the cultural and political analysis of the New Yorker and the Atlantic. Like this article, which was next to the piece on the mango-shaped breast.
This is a good one. This is how the Prime Minister of Aso's family business has been covering up defects in the high-speed roadways that they've been building. This is how they've been covering it up. And they've got internal documents, they've got photos. This is like the stuff you would hope that Japanese newspapers would do, but probably won't.
But magazine writer Yata Suzuki says the boring newspapers seem more credible, even when they aren't.
There are many who suspect the accuracy of what the weekly magazines write, even though in actuality the weekly magazines may have higher accuracy. There are many scandals where, although they are accurate, they end up being killed by the newspapers.
How do they kill them?
By deliberately ignoring them.
Meanwhile, the public is mostly unaware of the power of the Kisha Club. Again, Yata Suzuki.
I think that 90% of the average citizens don't know. However, 100% of the people in the media do know.
And since even magazine writers and freelancers depend on club members for juicy leaks, few openly protest the club system.
Ever since my start, I had serious doubts about the Kisha Club.
Ken Takeuchi started as a political reporter in the late 60s at the Asahi newspaper. In the 90s, he ran for mayor of Kamakura City and won. In 1996, he took the controversial step of opening up the Kisha Clubs in his jurisdiction to freelance writers and foreign correspondents.
Obviously, as mayor, it would probably be advantageous for me to maintain a cozy relationship with the press. But for the sake of Japanese media itself and the Japanese citizens, I thought, let the freelancers in. Let the foreign correspondents in.
Another governor followed suit by abolishing Kisha clubs altogether throughout his entire region. The Japanese Newspaper Association continued the trend by changing their guidelines. But since the rules for each club are set by its members, the guidelines are easily brushed aside. former mayor Ken Takeuchi.
You can see a couple of points of improvement, however, since the amended guidelines. For example, clubs started paying their own telephone and fax bills. Also, in the old days, government employees worked in the press clubs running various errands for reporters. Most of them are not doing that after being told to stop.
After politics, Takeuchi has gone on to start a news website called Janjan, and he's hoping it can play a similar role as The Weekly by providing a place for unreported stories to get their first airing. Although it isn't his proudest scoop, Janjan was the first place to write about Prime Minister Aso's apparent inability to read kanji, the Chinese characters used in Japanese. By all accounts, kanji is difficult, but it's still an expected skill set for the prime minister.
We at Janjan were the first people to write about it. All the political reporters who are following the cabinet positions and are in charge of Prime Minister Aso would know that he is making a mistake in reading kanji. But they would not write about it, considering the relationship they have with him and the Liberal Democratic Party.
After it appeared on Janjan, they did start writing about it. Takeashi Usugi sees a similar trend now that video of legislative sessions is available on the internet. Bloggers are beginning to scrutinize and discuss bills that previously went unmentioned.
It is only the beginning, but the conventional political reporters' ways where they would cover up for their politicians are now falling apart, albeit little by little.
Little being the operative word. In fact, the ruling Liberal Democratic Party has been passing privacy laws that actually make it more difficult to report on scandals. And the current leader of the opposition is no champion of the free press either. Strangely, the best hope for either opening or abolishing the Keisha clubs altogether may be the very thing we fear might ruin journalism in the U.S., a dying newspaper industry. Japan's colossal circulation figures have dropped in recent years, and a revenue crisis here could weaken the power of the Keisha clubs. That may be the biggest paradox, that the decline of newspapers could lead to a blossoming of real journalism. And Japanese newspapers might just find that printing a scoop once in a while is actually a great way to sell papers. In Tokyo for OTM, I'm Mark Phillips.
That's it for this week's show. Mark's piece was made possible by a grant from the Freeman Foundation. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Jamie York, Mike Volo, Mark Phillips, and Nazanin Rafsanjani, and edited by Brooke. We had technical direction from Jennifer Munson and more engineering help from Zach Marsh. We also had help from Dina Prechep and Andy Lancet. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer and John Keefe our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can listen to the program and find free transcripts, MP3 downloads, and our podcast at onthemedia.org. You can also post comments there and email us at onthemedia@wnyc.org. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. Adding this to our good friend John Solomon. Get well soon, man.
Support for On the Media comes from the Ford Foundation, the Jane Marcher Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.